side.
Hello, everybody. How are we?
Hello.
To All Joking Aside, episode number 79. Mm-hmm. 79. I am one of your co-hosts, Gregory Cohen, and right over here is...
I'm Mr. Daryl Mendelson, another one of your co-hosts.
A mister. And he obviously could not be bothered to dress up today like I did. What are you wearing?
Well, your topic today
is the justice system.
The justice system. And of course, we strive for authenticity here on All Joking Aside. It's an educational show as well as an entertainment. I am dressed as a judge in a robe.
It's a bathrobe.
I'm a very lazy judge.
Well, I certainly... If I was in court, I guess this point, I'd throw in the towel.
Yep. Okay. Order in the courtroom. Order in the courtroom.
Okay. I'll have a double cheeseburger.
Yeah. I got my coffee.
That is the extent of our legal puns for the
day.
There we go.
Who knows? Well, you're assuming.
Probably. You're right. Anyway, yes, we're talking about the justice system. Because last week, I had the pleasure, and I'm not being sarcastic, I had the pleasure of serving on a jury for the first time in my life, which is kind of impressive at my age.
And at that rate, you'll never do it again.
Never. I'm on the list, and they will call me in another 65 years. Maybe 41. 44.
Yeah, it could be.
Who knows? Anyway, I've been called for jury duty 3 times. Have you ever been called for jury duty? I've been called.
I've got the summons to go. The first time I was in college in Idaho, so I had a good excuse to not show up in California. They accepted that. And then the other 2 times when I was down living there in Orange County, and it's one of those things where you sat, which is not the way it is now, but you sat in that big outside room.
Jury room.
Yeah, with the college room, it was a huge room. And basically you sat there until they released you, which is usually like 4 or 5 hours later. So I never actually served in a jury, no.
Yeah, now they have the call-in thing where you call the night before to see if you're supposed to go down and sit in the big jury room. But yeah, I was called 2 other times before.
Okay.
The first time, did exactly what you did. Went in, sat in the jury room for a day, and never got called for anything. And the second time, sat in the jury room for the vast majority of the day, and then got called to a court to be, you know, possibly selected for a jury. And before they ever got to even questioning the possible jury members, they settled the case. So I was let go for that one. But this time, yes, I was told to call in. I was told to call in. I called in for 3 days. I think. Okay. And then the Wednesday night of the week that I was scheduled to be a juror, they said, come on in tomorrow. So I went in and signed into the jury, and everything's on an app now. I mean, it's wonderful.
So finally they overcame the desire to avoid calling in Greg the Butcher Cohen.
It's true.
No longer they finally, a deficit.
They finally ran out of people. It was incredible. But yeah, I was in the first group called out of the jury holding area to go to a court. And then when I got to the court, I was the fourth person called to go in. Okay. And sat in the jury box, and then they let go about half of the jury after questioning, and I was not one of them. So I ended up being on a jury for a criminal case, an armed robbery.
Wow.
I'm making air quotes there for those of you just listening, because No one could quite decide on the prosecution side exactly what weapon the robber may have had.
Will you be covering when the defendant came into the court, locked eyes with you, and broke out to hysterics? I hope you bring that up.
I will bring that up.
Okay.
This will be a biggie for those of you actually watching. But when the defendant, you know, slyly glanced over to me, and I did this. Anyway, I don't know how to describe that for people just listening.
The fingers towards your eyes.
Maybe that will just encourage you all to watch the videos because they're so entertaining like this. Anyway,
it's the I'm watching you symbols.
My father was a lawyer. I think I've mentioned that.
Yep.
My father wanted me to be a lawyer. And
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yes, he wanted me to be a lawyer. My first real job was working for him as a, I wouldn't even call it a law clerk. I was the guy in the office who did a lot of filing and updating of his law library because every day they get new case transcripts in. That's interesting. Like that.
Did you learn how to make the perfect cup of coffee while you were doing that?
I did. In heels and a short skirt.
There you go. Your dad was sexist towards his son. That's
oh my god. Yeah.
Lots to unpack there.
But yeah, I think he was very disappointed that I did not go into law.
Okay.
His whole thing was he kept telling me, it's just like being on stage. It's just like being on stage, which in his case, it was. He was a very – now when you go through law school, I think they have a lot of mock trial type situations that you go through. Yeah. They did not have that when he went to law school. And he literally learned how to be a lawyer by watching episodes of Perry Mason on TV.
Wow. Wow.
So that is far more entertaining.
Right.
For those of you who are younger, it would be like learning from watching Law and Order. It's much more entertaining than what actually happens in a courtroom.
That's disconcerting. I wonder how many doctors are out there who became doctors by watching Chad Everett.
Chad Everett was a great doctor. Don't mock him.
He was a good doctor. He was.
But yeah, so I think he would have been pleased that I was part of the legal process this time. And I've got to say, when I first went in, I really wanted to get on a jury because I hadn't done it. And I was interested I was curious, right? Mm-hmm. Very quickly, they really instill the importance of it on you.
Okay.
And for everyone on the jury, obviously I can't really speak for the rest of the people, but by their behavior, I really got the impression that really sunk in to everyone. Everyone was taking it very, very seriously, whether they agreed with, you know, my verdict or not. Everyone took it very seriously.
And you're saying the judge set the tone for that?
The judge set the tone. I don't know, just being in the room, I think, and just the behavior of everyone. It's very, it's very serious. I mean, especially for a criminal case where, someone's future is on the line.
So a little switch is flipped from the attitude that a lot of people take about trying to get
the curiosity. Oh, definitely.
And then
definitely.
You go into the court and you're now there. So now you're taking it much more with much more seriousness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, for the people that really didn't want to be on, and the judge made it very clear that he wasn't going to take a lot of excuses because this was a short trial. So he said it's not that much of a hardship. But still, I think they went through, and when people were coming up with the, not excuses to get off, but, you know, do you have any hard feelings against the police? Yeah, hit them. you know the right way to answer to get off a jury. You know, right, I mean, you can do it. And those people did not last on the jury selection. So I think everyone that was actually selected to be on the jury either wanted to or understood that it was their duty,
right?
One or the other,
right?
You know, so it turned out very well that way. And I gotta say, I was impressed. I not by what I thought. I thought I was going to be impressed by the wonderful legal wheelings and dealings of the lawyers, right? The lawyers were pretty unimpressive on both sides. I've got to say, the lawyers were pretty unimpressive. But just the system,
yeah.
It's it really is a good system. I've got to say that when we went into deliberation on this trial, which eventually ended up having the defendant not guilty. Don't need to go into a lot of details with that, but we found him not guilty. But when we first went in for deliberation, we all had sat through 3 days of testimony and opening arguments and closing arguments. And we went into the deliberation and it was pretty evenly split. So we had all listened to the same thing. And, you know, everything going into our individual filters, right?
Right.
And when we first took an initial vote just to see where we all stood, I went in thinking, okay, this is going to be easy. This is not guilty. Because they say, you know, someone's innocent until proven guilty. We've all heard that. Mm-hmm. And it's the burden of the prosecution to prove otherwise.
Okay.
And I thought, prosecution hasn't proven anything, unfortunately. You know, I mean, if this guy actually did the crime, then the prosecution didn't do their job. That was the way I went into deliberation. And we went in, and the first vote was 7 people for not guilty, 5 people for guilty. That's pretty close to split.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, some people might say, oh, wow, well, then they didn't do their job. But the fact is that by the next day, after discussion and everything, we settled on not guilty. So it was actually kind of reaffirming to me that this system of law actually works the way it's supposed to. Because everyone's going to have different opinions on something.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can come together and talk about it and actually come together and decide on something is pretty impressive.
Your analysis of how you recognize how important this is, like a sacred duty, a sacred honor, you're actually part of our democracy at the tail ends of the judicial system. You have a jury by
or the basis of it.
The basis of it.
I mean, really the basis of it.
Yeah. And that's interesting. It's when they say a jury by your peers, that's part of the mechanism when they're actually going ahead and doing the interviewing, right? Because a jury of your peers, you're not going to have 12 people who are all high level executives, and you're a hot dog vendor or something. I mean, they want to really make it as diverse as they can.
Yeah,
as far as backgrounds, not necessarily race, but by
backgrounds. We actually, they went through and they actually made the point of selecting only people who had committed armed robbery.
Because only they would know. Well,
we're the only ones that would have known.
I don't understand. Have you ever committed a crime? No, get the hell out of my courtroom.
But it is. It is very heartening to see this process. And if you have not been on a jury, I hope you get a chance, because it's I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to our listeners.
Yeah.
it really does reaffirm kind of everything about our government, you know? I mean, now, having said that, and having said the fact that I think, for the most part, our court system works, going through a lot of trouble right now, isn't it? Especially in the upper regions. I really think it is important for us to come up with some way of having a check on the Supreme Court, because it looks bad. It looks really bad.
There was a Judge Michael Luttig.
Yes,
he called for a new
conservative ethics judge.
Yes,
a conservative judge.
New ethics rules for the Supreme Court, which they should. I'm actually quite shocked finding out that they didn't have such a thing.
I know
they had an unspoken internal ethics morality discussions or whatnot, but it was not codified. And I mean, my God, absolutely, that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it also,
and it
also
really is, it's because of the appearance of wrongdoing, you know? You need to be able to clear up.
And I'm not going to impugn anybody. I won't mention any names, but it may be more than the appearance in this case.
It might be. But see, that's why it's so important. And I would think that's why the Supreme Court would want to work to establish that. You know, appearance bad, you want to clear that up. You don't want that hanging over your head.
Interestingly, having been a computer programmer coming into companies where there's old systems in place and old managers who brought those old systems into place, I saw what it was like at times to try to motivate them to understand that it would be in the best interest of the company to go ahead and become a little more modernized in certain areas. And the pushback often, under the guise of trying to come up with like legitimate business reasons why we shouldn't, I knew what was happening. They were trying to cover for the fact that they don't want to change the way things were.
Change is hard.
It was the change, but also they could somewhat hide behind it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case here. There's also a move that's been brought up many times, but there's another movement again, another push to bring cameras into the courtroom so there's full transparency to the American people. I don't think that's a bad idea. I really don't.
I don't see what would be wrong with that.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I think just seeing the way the courts work is incredibly valuable. And most courts allow it. You know, most courts will allow cameras or at least, you know, reporters in.
And the judge often will make a deliberation on that.
Yeah.
Because they'll say under certain, so if it's a high level, maybe a high level trial of somebody who is famous, they may not let him in. But then the Johnny Depp thing, right? They had the cameras in there.
That was unfortunate for everyone. And
what's her name? Amber Heard. Yeah, I mean,
Amber Heard. Wow.
So I don't know what, you know, and every judge is different. They don't have a set of rules either. There's a lot of leeway that the judges can make determinations of their own.
Right.
But, you know, if they're in the ball game and they recognize the need or the lack thereof, and they can make a wise decision on that way, I'm all for it. But yeah, at the Supreme Court level, I agree with you. There needs to be much more transparency and more ethics.
And the fact that they are fighting that. And it's not just the conservative justices that are fighting that. And it's like, it makes you question everybody on it, you know? And it's, and you know, there have been a lot of people talking about expanding the Supreme Court, you know, having more justices.
Right.
Or I don't know that I agree with that, because where does that stop?
Yeah, the logic there is it could be never ending. You end up in a court of 103, you know, people.
I agree with the idea of putting term limits on the Supreme Court justices. I think giving people free reign to have a job for the rest of their life with no consequences is ridiculous.
I agree with you.
you know,
I think another reason why they want to have the they're pushing back on the ethics things, they're afraid someone's going to come in and see the determination of guilt dartboard that is used in deciding those cases.
Oh, I'd be such a bad judge. I'm a terrible judge.
They call the meeting to order and they all say, do you have your pints in front of you? Lift and swallow. Lift and swill. And now pick up the official darts.
Here we go. Here we go. It's time. Prosecutor, defense attorney, come up forward. Join hands. Get those thumbs ready. Yeah. It's a very, very strange thing.
Now, when you were in the jury room.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everything you've said up to this point, that people took it seriously and they
did.
There's a winnowing process that both attorneys go through to pick the group.
You're going to ask something that's going to.
No. This is not. For a moment, I'm turning off the stupid humor joke. Okay. There. Did you sense ever what you thought was a person becoming maybe annoyed with them having been there, even though they knew it was going to be a short trial? And because, of course, you're in the jury, you know, the foreman announces it, the jurors don't have to talk about it. Do you ever look out at people? You're a fairly good judge of human nature, seeing people who perhaps are just thinking, you know what, I'll say whatever I need to say because I want this thing to end and get the heck out of here.
I think that you get to a point. I do. I think one of the young ladies who was the most vocal that believed that the defendant was guilty. When I first spoke to her, she was sitting next to me in the jury box, and she was not really sure. She was trying to figure out a way to get off the jury because she's got a very high pressure job.
Okay.
And she's in the middle of a bunch of things that she was dealing with at work, and her business paid for jury duty, but it wasn't the money part. It was just that pressure of having to accomplish things.
Okay.
And she kind of turned around and, you know, once she got on the jury, she was there for the jury.
Right.
And when we first got into the deliberation room and I got selected as foreman, yes, I was the foreman. Yeah, what an honor. Anyway, no one else. They said, okay, we need to choose a foreman. Who wants to do it? And we're all looking at the table and no one's raising their hand. Yeah. And yeah, I'll do it.
And the whole group, but you took one step back.
Yeah, it was basically that. Yes. But I said, okay, so I think we're all agreed. We kind of want to get out of here today, right? Because we started pretty early in the morning. And at that point, I was thinking, like I said before, that there was going to be no discussion.
Okay. I
foolishly believed that. And everyone said, yeah, let's get this finished by today. And she was all for that because she really needed to get back to work.
Right.
When it went over to the next morning, I think a major part of her decision was, number one, it had winnowed down to just, I think, two people that were saying guilty. And the rest had moved over to not guilty. And she had a doctor's appointment that afternoon. And she didn't want to have to reschedule it.
But they also understand really the concept of a hung jury. They know that at some point, I mean, I'm not sure what the trigger is on that, where they finally say it's a hung jury and we can't come to any agreement. My guess
would have been one more day.
Oh, really? Okay.
I would have guessed one more day.
So because based on the nature of the
Because of the nature of the trial, because of the fact that there was movement as far as changing minds.
Okay.
It wasn't going to happen that day. You know, okay. It wasn't going to, we weren't going to come to the point of saying, okay, we can't decide. because people had changed their minds at that point. But I think if we had started it and it had been 5-7 and we were all sitting there going, not going to change our mind. This is the way I'm voting. This is it. At that point.
Okay.
You know, and they probably would have gone for a hung jury.
And that is a tool. I mean, that's an important tool. You don't want to just go with the complacency and go along with the group because you just want to get it over. If you truly are having, it's maybe not even a moral dilemma, maybe a person is very adamant, they see the facts and they know that they are in the minority, but they do not want to change their mind because there's nothing to be proven to them otherwise.
Exactly. I mean, so, the fact of the matter is, I know I personally was not about it to change my mind.
Right.
I really, really felt that the prosecution hadn't made their case. And in the jury room, they were saying, so you're saying you really don't believe this guy robbed anyone? And I said, no, I don't know. I don't know if he did.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, I wasn't sure that there was really a crime because the prosecution had failed so badly in my mind.
See, that's a very important thing. You are discriminating in terms of your decision-making process. Because you knew and understood fully what
my
it means
job.
To your job and to use the facts as presented in the court.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I'm sure I bet you the vast majority of people struggle with that because I'm sure a lot of people just have a knee-jerk reaction and probably make up their mind before they even, well, I don't care what the attorneys say, the guy's obvious. I don't like the way he looks or something like that.
Well, there are people, you know, making up their mind reacting to things that the attorneys were saying,
mm-hmm.
which I understood. I mean, at one point that the supposed victims in this particular crime were two Hispanic people who were selling flowers. According to them, they were selling flowers. You know, the people that like set up on the side of the street or mm-hmm. freeway entrances or whatever.
Right.
And the defense attorney at one point was trying to disparage the fact that they were actually selling flowers because there was no proof that they were selling flowers. And wasn't it true that you were actually in town selling drugs? And a lot of the people on the jury, me included, kind of pulled back and we were offended because they weren't on trial.
Wow.
They had not been arrested, you know?
Right,
I mean,
right.
And it made me very uncomfortable because he was trying to discredit them.
Right.
And that's part of his job to discredit the witnesses, right?
Right.
But by doing so, just throwing it out there mm-hmm. that they weren't actually selling flowers, they were selling drugs. I was like, where did this come from? That's what it really felt like.
They're trying to present an emotional case for the jury. They know they're actually doing theatrics.
They're
trying to influence you emotionally.
You know, a couple of the people that were voting guilty in the jury were saying, how dare he? You know, that's ridiculous. I actually said to them, yeah, that was awful. But it doesn't make any difference why they were in town. Didn't make any difference why they were parked by the side of the road.
Right.
If they were robbed, that's the question. And if this guy in particular robbed them,
well,
then
it's to use an example that's going on right now with the former president and the rape trial he's involved with that attorney for the former president says to Jean Carroll when she's saying talking about being raped, he says, well, why didn't you scream or did you scream? So it's kind of pushing you down a path that has nothing to do with anything. And her response was wonderful, which was, I was raped, whether I screamed or not.
Yes.
So it's the same thing that applies to what you're using.
Yeah, exactly. Example. Exactly. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing. And I've got to say, you know, using that that example, having been on a jury now, I don't know how the jury's going to find. I personally, I hope they find for Ms. Carroll. Because I don't have a whole lot of doubt that, you know, that the gentleman in question is scum and a womanizer and possibly a rapist. Definitely, he's done enough
Now remember, Greg said possibly.
Possibly. He has apparently acted like a sexual predator in some ways, which he's admitted on tape, right? However, not being in the jury box,
if
they do find against her in this suit, I will be one of the people sitting there saying, I wasn't there. I didn't hear the evidence. I don't know. And now, I'm not going to be the people saying, you moron!
That's why you and I would not have gotten on this jury.
You know, they wouldn't have let us anywhere near the courtroom.
They put you as a potential juror and they'd be walking up and down looking at the people seeing the jury box. You'd be drawing a little hangman's noose. And they say, okay, you're out. You're not one of the jurors. I know the pressure on these high ranking cases must be immense for these people. They must be under so much pressure.
The idea of, finding people who don't already have an opinion about this case.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
That.
Or weren't even aware of it. So in many cases,
I honestly don't think they even tried to go with the not aware of,
At some point they'll say this community has been in the news so much. This community is prejudiced against our client. We want to move this to another district or something. But at some point
they need to move to another planet.
You have to go to another planet.
Yes. We have a very nice courtroom on Uranus.
Yeah,
I picked that planet just for the humor sake.
You look over this 12 green people going, we Venusians have come to this conclusion. We don't understand this.
It's a strange situation, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I think our justice system works more often than doesn't.
Yeah, look at everything's hobbled a little bit. Matter of fact, they talk about it. Democracy, by its very nature, is somewhat imperfect. There will be mistakes, but at least it's aspiring to the highest ideal of morality and fairness and justice.
And it is the best system on earth. I believe that.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. You should say this is time because I'm going to be hitting you with a lawsuit right now. You have impugned my name several times and you're going to hear a knock on the door. They're serving you papers right now.
I plead. Yeah, I'm guilty.
And all the jurors go, we wanted to discuss you at length.
Oh my God. Oh, the police are here to take me away. I guess that brings us to the end of this episode.
Okay.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
Book them, Dano.
Here come the judge.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, everybody, thank you so much. Court is just about to be adjourned here AJA court circuit.
Before you leave, one last question. Yeah. What did you get paid? What's the going rate?
I just got my check.
Oh, you did?
I just got my check. I came out with $57.18, I think.
For the entire time.
Which is, $15 a day for, I think, any time over probably 4 hours is considered a full day's work. So 3 days of court, that's $15 a day. And then they actually pay mileage I could have walked. So my mileage is negligent. But
you'd make more money as a fryer at McDonald's. I think their minimum is 16.
I got to tell you, my wife, Kaisa, is a personal trainer, and she gets paid by her boss, who's a personal trainer. He's the guy that owns the company. Right. So he gets paid a good deal of money for, you know, by clients for like a month of workouts. Right. And then he pays her for the workout, which is normally, you know, a half hour.
Okay.
Half hour to 45 minutes. And I came home. She said, "So how much are you getting paid for this?" I said, "I get paid $15 a day." She said, "Well, that's what I make." I said, "You get paid $15 a session." I said, no, you end up getting like $15 a day because you have one session a day, but it's a half hour out of your time. You know, so yeah, it's $15 a day. It is, and you can choose. This kind of cracked me up. You can choose to basically refuse acceptance of it. So they just will put it back into the system at that point. Which is a very nice thing. Not me. I had to pay for my lunches every day. That paid for my lunches every day. So it was a wash.
And do you know who makes those sandwiches that go in the machines?
The defenders. all right, everybody, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Be good. Don't end up in court yourself.
Yeah,
don't want to do it because Daryl might be on your jury, at which point you're done under
the law. That's right,
you're done. he's very good at answering questions to get on the jury, and then he immediately says that everyone's guilty.
I learned it was you're guilty until proven innocent.
There you go. He's a good American. Anyway, everybody, be well,
stay safe,
stay honest,
be honest,
and when you're not honest, keep smiling.
Keep smiling. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All joking aside.